Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne.
Thank you very much. There is great confusion in the religious world over the meaning of the expression, calling on the name of the Lord. The term appears very infrequently in the New Testament, but has great significance for all students of the Word. In his first letter to the church at Corinth, Paul addressed his remarks to them who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. 1 Corinthians 1:2. Oddly enough, some religious groups have interpreted calling on the name of the Lord to mean offering the sinner's prayer, although no apostle or any other New Testament preacher ever did that. In every case where the expression calling on the name of the Lord appears in the New Testament, the inspired writer was speaking of obeying the gospel. I have time to give you just one example. On the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, Peter quoted these words from the prophet Joel, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts 2:21. Do you believe that 3,000 Jews and proselytes who were saved on that great day called upon the name of the Lord? They did not offer the sinner's prayer, or if they did, inspiration fails to apprise us of that fact. Here is exactly what happened. The Apostle Peter preached the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter climaxed his great sermon by saying, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." Acts 2:36. Obviously, not all the Jews who heard Peter's sermon believed it. But the ones who did asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What did the Jews want to know? Were they asking the apostles what they had to do to be saved? You know from Peter's answer what the Jews were asking. He quoted the words of Joel to the effect, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Peter's obligation was to tell the Jews how to be saved. If the so-called sinner's prayer were God's way of saving man, why did not Peter instruct the Jews on Pentecost to pray? Instead, the inspired apostle commanded the Jews, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:37 and 38. Please remove from your minds the preaching you may have heard about how salvation is granted. Look carefully and prayerfully at the text. Peter's command contains two elements, repentance and baptism. Does that mean that repentance and baptism are essentials in our calling on the name of the Lord? The context will not allow for any other interpretation. According to Peter, baptism is just as essential to salvation as repentance. All people must repent and be baptized to enjoy the remission of sins. Not because I say so, but because that is precisely what the Bible teaches. But was that true of every case of conversion recorded in the book of Acts? Please read all of them carefully and see for yourself what occurred in the conversion of the Samaritans, of the Ethiopian eunuch, of Saul of Tarsus, and of the Philippian jailer. And what about the Corinthians? Acts 18 tells us that Paul went to the ancient city of Corinth and preached that Jesus was the Christ. Acts 18:5. Now please listen to how the Corinthians called on the name of the Lord. "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." Acts 18:8. Our obligation is to do what the Bible tells us to do in the way it tells us to do it. Thank you, and may God bless you.